Yeah, I can't. He seems like he should slide better, having been part of Major League Baseball. I'm told it's because he played for American League teams. There's no DH.
Hey, how impressed have you been from afar and just what you've seen on Griffin?
I mean, I don't know how you could not help but be impressed, you know. I'm impressed by the things that they do on offense, haven't changed to some of the stuff that he did in college, and that it can be effective at this level, which I think everybody probably poo-pooed that to start with. And, you know, you see it ripping people up on Sundays.
You think that the option might be here to stay, or is it just because of how gifted he is that he can run it?
Well, you have to have a gifted guy to run it, I think, first of all. And then it's just a matter of, you know, how long you want to play it till the guys, they draw a beat on him and get a good shot on him, you know.
Last three games that hasn't been there yet, or is it young to the extent that it's the untapped potential is not really going to be seen until next year?
Yeah, probably not. It's probably talk about a yearly thing, you know, that I don't know how much more in three games, hopefully enough to win three games. But I would think, you know, get into the playbook, you know, you probably start to do some things as you get into the next year and next year with the people, with the young people that are in there.
Like the raw material, and what's how do you like the long-term potential
of the group? Well, I like the guys. Now, that's taken that they're going to progress and that they're going to grow, you know, both in the off season and through the preseason next year. But I like the base with which we're building.
Fred, along those lines, you've had some really young guys handling the ball all year. I mean, can you add more now? I mean, do you have the confidence in them that they can handle more at this stage of the season?
Some things, but I mean, really kind of subtle changes, you know. I mean, I think they're doing the things that we're asking them to do at a decent level. Can they do it at a higher level? Sure they can, because the perfect game's never been played. But we're just asking them to interpret things along those lines that are in those playbooks. We're giving them the latitude, or at least they're taking the latitude now to go ahead and create along those lines. And I think that's where you make your most growth, you know, as you go.
Without making specific comparisons, talk a little bit about Alex Mack and where he's at in terms of the hierarchy among centers in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm capable of doing that because, first of all, I always look at the defensive side. I do see centers play. Obviously, somebody's playing against those defenses. But I don't know if I've seen them all. You know, I don't know if I've seen all the NFC ones. Alex, I can just speak to Alex. You know, obviously extremely smart, really, really, really competitive. And I mean competitive not just with the guy over him, but competitive to make the right calls. And since he's the kind of the quarterback of that offensive line, I just think he's outstanding that way. And he plays with good leverage for being a bigger guy. I mean, he bends well, is able to use his leverage. And you know, he continues to get better and better, so. I don't know how many are better than him, but, you know, I wouldn't say there's a lot of them better than him.
is Trent Richardson maybe more injured than he's letting on, or why are there not more explosive runs?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, you have to ask Trent that. You know, I don't see any. I know that he's sure sore come Wednesday, and I don't know if that's additional soreness in that spot that's been bothering him. I think that's one of those things that probably won't completely go away till the off season. But, you know, I mean, just us doing a better job of blocking those things. I don't think it's through any fault of his own that there aren't those explosions. And I know the question always is, well, how come when Montero comes in, he can run for 20 yards on that? Some of it's just, hey, he's taking the third series and all of a sudden he is going with it. And we happen to call a play that we block well enough for him to run for 20 or 25 yards. So I don't know if you can put your finger on any one thing. How come there's not? I just think they're there. They're just underneath the surface. We can't quite get him there right now.
That's not Richardson doing the young thing?
No, anymore. I don't think it has anything to do with Trent. It has to do more with us blocking.
You say the same thing for his, like,
yards per carry last game, like it was 2.3, which obviously isn't.
I don't, you know, he was effective. I know the 2.7 yards per carry, I don't look at it that much. You know, you look at it, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, when you go back and say, hey, is a guy averaging an Adrian Peterson like 6.5 yards a carry? But, you know, I just think there's things that we can do better offensively that would allow him. I mean, can he do some things better? Sure he can, but that's everybody on offense.
Hey, Brad, with all that in mind, your offensive line looks like it's become a little bit more physical, more imposing. You weren't here, but the last couple of years, you know, it was more of a passive offensive line. Really didn't get people knocked off the ball. Is that something that you wanted and wanted to achieve as the year is going along in terms of, you know, having them be a little bit more stronger?
Yeah, and I wouldn't hasten to compare them to last year's crowd or the year before or anything like that. I think the thing with the offensive line is it all starts up front. On offense and defense, it all starts up front. And I recognize that as a, even though a quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, but it all starts up front. You don't do anything unless those guys are exerting their will on somebody else in front of them. And they know I feel that way. I think they're doing a better job of exerting their will because that's what it really comes down to. And obviously a defensive lineman is going to try to exert his will against you. So I think that's probably the highest form of flattery when you say, hey, it's a physical offensive line. You know, they're getting there. They're getting there. They're not all there yet, but they're getting there.
The genesis of last week's, I'll say trick plays, but imaginative plays, creative plays, was it the opponent or was it the evolution of your offense?
You know, we've had, like, I think, for example, the double reverse we ran against Philadelphia the first game. You know, you kind of have to put those things, Tony, in mothballs. After you run it, like, in a Philadelphia game, you can't really drag it, trot it back out again the next week because you're giving people credit for coaching on that side, too, that they might be going to try to take something like that away. So, you know, we drag that out about every third or fourth game. The Wildcat stuff, you know, Josh did a good job with that on a couple of carries. He ran the same play twice and took a better look at it the second time, and some of his God-given athletic ability was able to make a safety miss. But I don't know that it's all of a sudden we're turning the page, you know, 4,000 in the playbook. And, I mean, those things have been in there and been practiced for most of training camp. At least the double reverse has. The Cribs piece, you know, was just something that we felt like. The Greg Little run, you know, just from the fact that he'd been a running back in high school, they did that last year once or twice with him. And seemed like it was seemed like we could handle it. We could line up in a formation, get to where we needed to do, have the people that were blocking it block it the right way, and have Greg be able to carry it out. So that play was its genesis was last year.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Four wide formation.
I don't know if it was out of a four wide. It could have been out of a three wide and a tight end, but I know that there were three wides in last year when they played.
How risky is what Griffin's doing this year and taking off and running? I mean, isn't that kind of almost playing Russian roulette every time he takes off down the field?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, would you have said that about a Donovan McNabb or a Dante Culpepper? You say, well, those are bigger frames. I know, but I just think it's part of his piece. You know, when you have an RG3, you know, you're not gonna try to coach that out of him, make him stand still and, you know, kind of stand there like an iron deer on the lawn. You know, he's not going to do that, you know. He's got a different skill set, you know, and so you want him to, you know, accentuate that.
What do you like about Montario Christie at this point?
Yeah, I like the fact that he's been able to come in and explode and just give us a different pace. You know, I think you talked about you know, they got a couple of different backs at the Redskins that are able to change up. And I've talked to you guys before about changes of pace. It's nice to have two different kinds of backs. And because the defense kind of sets its cleats in the ground for one style of running, and somebody else comes in, and all of a sudden it's a little different style running. But Montero's been able to have some explosive plays and give us production, you know, not ridiculous production, but, you know, enough production where you're not afraid to say, hey, give them the next series.
You mentioned that Hardesty has a higher per carry than Trent, which he does. And just the eyeball test, he looks kind of crisp when he comes in. And he has that yard higher per carry than Trent. Has there been any talk at all about, Trent mends and gets back to his old self? Is there some value in maybe giving Hardesty more carries than Richards?
Well, we're not there. Certainly, we're not there. Are we going to give him a series every now and then, or every third series or something of that nature? Yeah, we talk about that, and, you know, all those guys are competitive guys. So they're, when you produce, it's funny how coaches find different ways for you to, you know, put your hands, get touches on the football. So, and I know that's a double-edged sword but how can I produce if I'm sitting here behind a guy and you never let me on the field? Those guys are aware of that. I'm pleased that Montero's having some success. I know what I wanted to say was I'm told that he's as healthy as he's ever been in the time that he's been here, which then again lets your God-given athletic abilities kind of come to the surface.
Too, and Pat went over this in his press conference after the game, saying he was pissed off himself for not giving the ball to Hardesty and let him score. But the issue does come up. Montero had some fumbles in the preseason, and he had the one the other day. Is that in your mind at all, that you wonder if he's going to hold on to the ball in the key situation?
It was in my mind after it happened. You know, it scarred me, as a matter of fact. And so, you know, Pat, it was Pat's call, you know, to take him out and his apology. But, you know, Montero would know, be the first to tell you that I'm not real high on putting a ball on the ground, and particularly going in. You know, if in fact that happened, all I know is I saw beanbags and saw a ball out, and, you know, it scarred me.
What's that about the Redskins' run defense? I think they're in the top 10. Where do you see it?
Yeah, I just think Redskins defense overall, you know, where we faced a Kansas City team last week that was bigger, stouter. I mean, I think they were higher against the run, if I'm not mistaken, than the Redskins. But you're seeing a lot of blitzing going on. You're seeing a lot of run blitzing as well as pass blitzing going on, whereas Kansas City did very little of that. So this is a really live by the sword, die by the sword. I mean, they're coming after you, coming off the bus. And so we'll have to be way differently ready than we were last week for Kansas City's defense.
What are your impressions of
one question? Just that he's been around forever. He's like a dinosaur. I can remember competing against him on three different teams, you know, back when he had three different names on the back of his jersey. It's amazing that a guy playing that position could still be as effective as he is. And, you know, you can see his passion for the game. He truly is their quarterback on that side of the ball. You see him get people lined up. So still playing at a high, high level.
You've been with three different teams or him?
I guess I have two. Three. Right. You know, what goes around comes around, you know. So, and the same people, you pass each other – the same way going up as you do going down, you know. So, you know. If the timing's right, if the people are right, that'd be great. If not, I can say that I've been there and done that.
Brad, with one question to Hardesty. Trent, your lead receiver, Montero, had an open walk his hand Sunday. How much does that take away from your offense when you make that change in terms of being a complete defense? Pass the ball as well as run it out of the
backfield. Well, it takes something, and I can't remember how that series ended specifically, that where he dropped the football, because that was going to be a big gain. And I think we had a big gain right before that. We were going to go right there with another big gain. We may have gone down and scored. I can't remember. But drop balls hurt you, and you can't selectively say we're going to put a guy in, and he's only going to go in a run situation where we hand him the football. You know, if he's playing a series, he's probably going to play – run and pass. You know, you have to take what you get. when Monterio's in there. Does he need to catch the ball? He needs to catch the ball, yeah. And because, you know, those are drive stoppers when you drop the ball and you're standing in frank air.
He came back from a cruise.
Right.
Now that he's closing in on maybe a 1,000-yard year, just talk about the development he's had just taken the last, since you said that, 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably nothing short of astounding, you know, that a guy can one day be not committed to the draft, next day jump in the draft, and, you know, in the next month be in an NFL camp where he missed all the springtime. You know, he's going to be raw as he can be, that he's able to get in shape to where he could compete at this level and then to be able to go on and do what he's done. It's a great story. And you know what? It's all kudos to him because he's the guy that's had to put the work. You know, that's where the rubber meets the road. And he's put that time in both the classroom and, you know, in the weight room, in the training area, to where, you know, he's a highly functioning piece of this offense.
One more question, Tom.
Ability and not accomplishments. Do you see any Randy Moss in him?
Stature, maybe. I think Randy's probably taller. But I'm reticent to put any kind of – Josh Gordon's Josh Gordon. He's got kind of his own individual style, you know, I really wouldn't compare him to anybody else. At least right now, it's too early.
Coach Schumer said that his biggest regret from last season was not hiring an offensive coordinator right away. Mm-hmm. What went on with you last year? I mean, did they ask and you weren't ready to come back, or how did that go down?
You know, I talked with Pat, and Pat wasn't ready to hire an offensive coordinator. I think he was going to do it himself. So I'm not sure what the other conversations were around here. What went on with me was I gained about 30 pounds and drank a lot of, you know, flowery drinks with straws in them, you know, and wore a big hat.
Passing offense you guys have had, run successfully, quick crossing patterns and all that stuff, get rid of the ball quickly. Does that kind of play into success against a very aggressive defense like Washington has? I mean, is that something that you feel like you guys would do well against that kind of aggressiveness?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. You better not hold on the ball very long against these guys, or, you know, they'll take you to task in a hurry. But all that kind of stuff that we've done offensively, yeah, I mean, there's got to be an element of the quick passing game. There's got to be an element of the crossing game that you see from us every week. I just say, you know, nothing good's going to happen in this game with the quarterback holding on to football because they're going to storm the castle.
Andre, last one. I know you've been removed from Minnesota
for a couple of years, but are you amazed by what Eric Peterson is doing? Is there something?
Yeah, he's an absolute freak. I mean, and I say that in a good way. He was something from the first time I saw him, you know, take a handoff from a little guy from East Stroudsburg State. We called him Joey Proton or whatever his name was, but in a walkthrough kind of setting with no pads on, and where we invited 50 guys from all over the United States to come and watch him hand a football off and watch him go around a corner. The first time I saw him was kind of a jaw-dropping, and he still is jaw-dropping. When I see the highlights that I see, I just go, wow, Adrian, you know. But you know, he's got God-given natural athletic ability, obviously, but you won't find a guy that works harder. And obviously, he's put himself in a great position to be able to come back off a devastating knee injury at this point in time.